Our gospel lesson this morning is drawn from the third chapter of Luke's gospel. And these are familiar words that speak to us about the proclamation of John and are part of the infancy narrative in Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of our God." May we be blessed in the hearing of good news. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Actually, it's no different now than it was in the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius. When John the Baptizer was preaching on Jordan's bank, it was the custom to tie important events to important people. So, to be consistent, let me put it this way. Now, in the 6th year of the presidency of George, and in the 4th year of the reign of James, and of the 3rd or 4th year of the reign of Teresa, over Wauwatosa, and in the high priesthood of Pei and Brink and Shawl, a voice cries, "Prepare the way of the Lord." All around us, we're invited to prepare, but our preparations are not to make the Lord's path straight. We're asked to prepare to spend money. We're asked to prepare to become frantic with too many parties. Too much food, hard to believe, and too many visits with family and friends. We're asked to prepare to deck not only our halls, but our shrubbery, our rooftops, and now even our lawns with little inflatable thingies. The voice cries out in the wilderness of the mall and the media, "Prepare a perfect Christmas. Prepare the way of Rachel Ray, of Stuart, both Martha and the late Jimmy. Such a wonderful life. Prepare a picture-perfect holiday that even the deep green Grinch and the skinflint Scrooge would love, not to mention those picky relatives and friends I talked about earlier. And prepare to be depressed when the family and the friends go and the bills come and our expectations still haven't been met." My dear sisters and brothers, the voice that calls for that preparation comes from a different wilderness and serves a different Lord. The voice of the prophet, the forerunner, John the Baptist, calls to us across the years, across the centuries, and the wildernesses, to bid us welcome the coming, the present Lord. John cries out to prepare the Lord's way, to make it straight. This, Lord, John's gospel tells us, is the Father's eternal, creative word, whom God speaks into human flesh in Jesus the Christ. The way of the Lord is not something obscure, not something arcane, not something mystifying. It is God's self-disclosure. The way of the Lord is God speaking God's self into the babble of our world. I so appreciate what the English spiritual writer Maria Boulding has to say. She writes, "Together, only together, we can rise to truth, vision, and communion. All the beauty and riches that open to us through communication with other persons are possible because God has made us in his image. The Greeks defined man as a living thing that speaks. We speak through verbal change, through body language of manifold variety, through literature and art and music, through silent presence to one another, and through living truthfully in the fellowship of love that binds us together in a common humanity and a common destiny. This destiny is fellowship with the God who is communion and with one another in Him. Our God, she writes, is a God who gives Himself, that is His glory. From all eternity, He dwells in unapproachable light, yet He comes to find us, to call us, and to offer us His friendship, and to ask for ours. His Trinitarian glory is self-giving love, and overflows, as is the way with love. So He is glorified, not by remaining inaccessible, but by self-communication. This is what revelation is. God speaking, not to present us with a list of truths we must believe or rules we must obey, but to utter Himself. The way of the Lord is the way of relationship. It is a way of listening and a way of responding. How do we listen and respond when it's only 14 shopping days until Christmas? We may not have written a single card. How many of you are honest? How many of you have not yet written a single card? Hallelujah, I see that hand. Sorry, I slipped into Billy Graham mode for a moment. Sorry. We may not have purchased a single gift. Don't even put your hands up. Much less wrapped one. We may not have composed the annual letter of glad tidings, which most people hate anyway. It doesn't matter. Listen to the good news. It doesn't matter. Repeat with me. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The voice that cries in the wilderness doesn't call us to prepare for those things. The voice that cries in the wilderness of the mall, of piped-in music, of overdone television specials, and of daily existence calls us to one thing. Prepare to be blessed. Advent and its prophet, John the Baptist, comes striding into the midst of our wilderness of Christmas's coming stress and shouts, "Get ready! The Lord is near! Get ready to be blessed. Get ready to have peace spoken to your heart. Get ready to allow God to tear down the obstacles, to make rough places smooth and straighten those crooked paths of our lives. Go straight in all of the best ways to go straight. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others. Get ready. God is coming to bless. God is coming to love. God is coming to make us whole again." And that's the salvation that is announced in this wondrous season. It is not some arid proposition to be believed. It is a relationship to be lived. This season, then, isn't about living up to some societal ideal. It's about listening. It's about speaking. It's about opening oneself to heal and to be healed. And it's about extending ourselves in self-giving service to others. God's readiness to share life with us, God's eternal yes to us, demands a like response. To prepare the way of the Lord, to make God's path straight, is to live in response to God's offer of blessing, to God's offer of presence, to God's offer of peace, to God's offer of relationship. As John the Baptist's words speak across the centuries to us, so too should Paul's. The confident words he spoke to the church in Philippi apply to the church gathered on Church Street in Wauwatosa. "The one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." And like Paul, I rejoice and I thank my God for you and for the work that you're doing through this gathered community. Good things are happening here as we seek to respond to God's invitation to shared life. Now, that being said, we still got a lot to do. Well, I don't want you to congratulate yourselves so much that you'll ruin your wrapping arm by patting yourselves on the back. We still got a lot of growing to do. I do. We do. All of us do. We have a lot of growing to do. But you see, there's a lot to learn together. But the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, is evident in this place. And of course, we still have to overcome some complacency, and we have to overcome some of the let-someone-else-do-it-ness. But that's a matter for a different conversation across the horizon coming. Right now, with Paul, I pray that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge, epignosis, the fullness of knowledge, and it may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. As your minister, as one of the voices crying out in the wilderness, I am calling you to prepare to go straight, to go straight to being blessed. Other voices will call you to become stressed. Other voices will call you to inflate your expectations, to forget what this season is really about. And Rob's words were just priceless. What just happened this morning is what it's about. Heed the voice that calls you to come into relationship. Heed the voice that calls you to seek the center and to be at deep peace within yourself. The Latin American martyr bishop Oscar Romero wrote this. Peace, he said, is not the product of terror or fear. Peace is not the silence of cemeteries. Peace is not the silent result of violent repression. Peace is the generous, tranquil contribution of all the good of all. Peace is dynamism. Peace is generosity. Peace is right, and it is duty. Heed the voice of peace and the call of Malachi and of Paul and of John the Baptist, who ask us, what really matters? Isn't what really matters to our families, to our churches, to us, to be at one with God and to be at one with each other? Isn't what really matters realizing the wonder of life and relationship in themselves, celebrating who we are rather than what we have or what we may get? God wants to pour blessings on us, but we must first clear the way and prepare to receive them. If we hear the voice in our wilderness calling us to prepare, calling us to go straight to God and to be blessed, we should answer by taking some quiet time for ourselves. Even in the midst of all of this hubbub that is the holiday, even if it's only 5 minutes, get in touch in that time with God who seeks you and longs for you. And then respond. Respond to God's loving care. If we hear the voice of our wilderness calling us to prepare the way of the Lord, we should answer by seeking to be a healing presence, being a calming presence in our home or in our workplace. A gentle word, a loving deed, could make all the difference to someone experiencing the stresses of this rather busy, overinflated season. Perhaps the voice calls us to remind people what really matters, relationship. If we spend even half the time focusing on God and other people that we use for fretting whether we've done it all right or not, we'll make a difference. Just imagine what it would be like to really listen to people, really listen for God speaking through them, and the wonder of discovering new things about them, and new things about yourself, and new things about God. The best gift that we can give is ourselves, our time, our attention. The prophet Malachi said that the Messiah would come to purify us, like a refiner's fire or fuller's soap. Our call to worship, which was from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, the message said, like lye soap from the laundry. Maybe that's what we need. Purifying. Purifying our priorities, our understanding of what really matters in daily life. Ultimately, even the so-called perfect gift is discarded or even forgotten. All of us have seen the wondrous toys laying tossed aside while the boxes and the wrappings become the focus of attention and delight. You've seen that, haven't you? I know I have. I know I did it. And preparation for going straight in God's way, going straight to being blessed, involves listening and responding and openness and caring and prayer and time. Advent calls us to prepare in a different way. Long ago, God was ready to speak God's word of blessing, God's very self, into our world. And a voice came calling, prepare the way. Well, that voice still calls. The way must still be prepared because God still seeks to bless us with presence. So listen. Listen to the voice calling in our various wildernesses, whatever they may look like. Heed its call. Prepare, go straight, and find the way to be blessed. Amen.